The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome to the Ask the Experts show, where the experts offer you educational information from local experts in the field of legal health, financial, and home improvement. Join us every week at this time for great educational information from lawyers, doctors, contractors, and specialists in their field. Sit back and enjoy the next hour of Ask the Experts.
Hello and welcome to Ask the Experts. I'm Lee Richards and my guest today is from Aurora Home Care, right?
Correct.
And you've been with us before and I always look forward to seeing you. Kim Zavalia, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Boy, traffic is something out there. Just making it here today, you've already become a champion. Mm. But when I think of Aurora, I think of caring and compassion, and everyone that I've spoken to from your place, they really do care.
Exactly.
But it's not just sitting and holding somebody's hand. Home care is very involved, and we're going to approach some of the ins and outs today and get people information that they may need now or they may need in the future. So if you think, well, this doesn't apply to me, you know what? We're not infallible. I'm finding that out as I get older. Just when you think, oh, I'm going to live forever. Nah. So what we want to do is make people comfortable, take care of people, and there's actually so much more. So let's talk about this. Long-term care. Who is it for?
Anybody. Anybody that has that long-term Anybody that has that ability or needs, has the ability in the house that they cannot leave, they're homebound. They have that criteria from the doctor stating that their medical needs have exceeded what they, you know, can do on their own, and we can do that and put people in place to help them.
Rather than putting them in a facility.
Correct. Aging in place, staying in their own home.
Which seems to be coming, it's more and more popular now. Mm-hmm. You hear a lot about this. Which is a good thing if it can be arranged.
Correct.
Nothing like being in your own place with your own people and not dependent on strangers who are worried about their next coffee break.
Yeah,
I hate
true.
To say that, but you know, we've been there. We've seen that. All right. So how can somebody apply for long-term care services?
So as far as long-term care services go, you could either do it on your own. It's kind of a lot of detail involved. So it would be PCA or Maximus, Area on Aging, and the Department of Public Welfare. And you would have to reach out, do the, you know, meet the criteria, and then move on with the paperwork. Otherwise, you can call Aurora or another home care agency, and then they would connect you to a coordinating agency, would then do all the paperwork for you, guide you with it, and get everything done, all the pieces put together.
So getting help is the better way to go.
I think so, yeah.
People who know the paperwork, know what it is all about.
What's needed, yeah.
That you don't make a mistake.
Nothing falls through the cracks. Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's the better way. I'm not just saying, you know, it's the right or wrong way, but it's going to be the easier way for you to navigate the whole system.
It's like me and taxes.
Or anything.
My father was a CPA, and I have yet to ever do my own taxes.
Well, that's good. Then he did it for you.
Yeah, but now I ask an expert.
That's true. Okay.
And as people should do with home care as well. So what are some basic inquiry application questions that someone should know about applying? Since you say it's so involved, the basics are enough for me to handle today.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you a couple. One being you cannot make more than $2,245 a month. That criteria would then make it to where you have too much money to qualify for the long, and I'll get into that, I think, down the line.
Is that a Medicaid thing?
It would be. Then you wouldn't qualify for the.
Okay.
Yeah. So then the next thing would be you couldn't exceed $8,000 in the bank. Is the patient a homeowner?
Uh-huh.
They have a chronic illness that would make them disabled more than 6 months. Disabled being like medically disabled. And then they have a 5-year look back period. So these are more for the Medicaid pieces.
That's what I'm hearing from you. If somebody has a ton of money,
then they wouldn't qualify for Medicaid. And then we would explore other avenues of getting them the care.
All right. So people who are concerned about what's this going to cost, if you fit the criteria and you your income is less than $2,240 a month.
$2,245
a month. I thought you were allowed to own your home with Medicaid. No?
You can't own your home with Medicaid, but we can. You can own it, and then they would put a lien on, and that will go. I have those answers later on in the questions.
Oh, okay. I
it's okay.
I just follow the flow.
It's okay. Yeah. So I could give you that information now. It's not a big deal.
Yeah,
so
Kim, don't worry.
I don't want to confuse you. I'm trying to put everything in one piece so that when that comes.
You know what you're talking about. I will give in to the expert right here.
There you go.
So you mentioned that the 5-year look back on bank statements. What's that?
You really have to make sure that all your money's proven to be still in the bank, or, you know, if you did buy a cemetery plot, you have the receipts to prove where this money went.
Are they allowed to buy a cemetery plot?
As long as they're paying it for themselves. I don't know how it really works as far as gifting goes, the criteria within that. But there, that 5-year look back, and you have to give all of this information or else, you would not be eligible.
Wow.
They could easily reject it for certain different documentation not being supplied properly.
So how long does this application process actually take?
About 3 to 6 months. And that's if all the information is done properly. We have everything in place. Each case, it's a case-by-case basis. But it would be a letter from the PCP stating that the home care is needed, as specifically for that patient. And then you would need signatures from all the other agencies that I mentioned before, PCA, Maximus, Public Welfare, Department of Public Welfare, and then Aging, Area on Aging.
All right, but you guys can handle all of that.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, that's every day for
that's
you.
That's what we do, yep.
No, the reason I'm going to get back to the house thing, but so what if you're married? Do they take the house away from your wife or your husband?
So that's going to come across with the Medical Assistance Estate Recovery Program, and it's established law that requires the state to recover any funds that they put out for the care of whomever is, receiving it. So if that person has a loved one, there it would be a lien on the house, and then if they sell it, that the money would be recuperated from that. But it doesn't happen until the person passes.
Wow, that could be a shocker to somebody.
It could be, but getting onto this program, if they do want to live in their home and take care of themselves and have people take care of them, this is right in front of them. They know everything in front of them before they sign the paperwork and get it all going. So it's not a surprise at the end. Sorry.
What if your husband or wife and you own a business? Can they make you sell the business or take the business away? Since that's their livelihood.
They're trying to get their funds, so it really goes towards the home first. I don't know specifically if a business, they're going to take the money one way or another. If they do own a business and the spouses, I would believe that it would be the spouse until the spouse passes.
Oh, okay. Because say it's the husband who has whatever and he needs the care, and they own a grocery store, and the wife runs the grocery store now to put food on their table. They're not people who are getting a Social Security check or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine them just throwing her out of her business, right?
No, but I think if they were in that situation, generally speaking, they have another source where you could do private pay. And that would be if they had an income. So private pay would be paying for the services outside of putting a lien on your home. And that's an idea of where we're going with this. So somebody with that much money, with having a business on the side.
It's not a lot of money.
No, it wouldn't be.
It's mom and pop stuff.
Yeah, but it's still a business. You wouldn't want them to lose that. So then that would be another option. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, how can you take someone's business away from them? Or, and how can you take their home away from them?
Right.
How about their car?
Well, if they're homebound, they wouldn't have a car, so that would be a criteria.
Yeah, but their spouse would have the car.
Yeah, that's the difference. That's the different, you know, different criteria that we would go through and kind of figure out whether, you know, what else they would qualify for. Like, if that was the chance and they did have a car and they did have the business and they had all this other stuff, that lien wouldn't be feasible for them. And in that situation, then you would pay privately to have somebody come in the home, pay per hour, and take care of them that way.
Yeah, we just don't plan according to these guidelines. It's like everybody knows when you get a divorce and what was yours before the marriage goes with you and what was his before the marriage goes with him. But in the case of Medicaid, what's yours is yours and what's both of yours still goes to them. It doesn't matter if you inherited money and you're not the sick person. If you're the spouse, they'll still take it away.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it goes with the quality of care. I mean, definitely, if you want to age in
home.
It's
not just Aurora.
It's across the board. Yeah, it's across the board. So if you want to age in the home and stay in your, you know, you built your home from ground up and you want to age in place, there are options. But, you know, there are different things that you have to consider.
All right. So this Medical Assistance Estate Recovery Program, this is an actual department of this Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, I believe, isn't it?
It's a law, yeah.
And there's an office that is dedicated to this. So when did you say it kicks in? When did they start taking things?
After the passing of the patient.
Right. Even if the spouse is still alive and is partial owner.
Yeah. So, yeah, they would put a lien on the home in order to get the home care benefits paid back.
Wow. We definitely need experts to navigate these waters. How can a coordination agency and home care provider assist us with this application process?
So what would happen is the coordinating agency would help fill out the application. And then from that, the applicant would call a home care agency. We would explain the process and refer them accordingly. If the patient or person is eligible, then they would choose the So you have coordinating agencies that could actually do all the paperwork for you, but you don't have to go with them. So there's, you know, a home care, a coordinating agency, and then you would, you know, specifically pick and go from there, and then the process continues.
Oh, I have so many more questions.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
We're going to get right back to them. Thank you for listening today, folks. My guest is Kim Zavolia, and she's from Aurora Home Care, and we're talking about your options with home care and what you may need now or in the future for you and or a loved one. And this is important information. Let's give out the phone number. I believe this is correct. 215-354-4444. And the website is auroraathome.com. And we'll be right back on Ask the Experts right after this.
Aurora Home Care and Hospice offer unique care, the kind of care and support that comes from the heart. Their focus is to make sure that your days can be lived in comfort and peace. At Aurora Home Care and Hospice, you will be cared for with expertise, dignity, and respect by a support team of professionals that speak your language. Aurora Home Care and Hospice will make sure that you will be supported and strengthened. They will also make sure that your feelings will be respected and your wishes honored according to your culture, religion, and beliefs. At Aurora Home Care and Hospice, you can have a peace of mind that your life will be seen as a unique and exceptional journey. You'll find care and support with every step you choose and people who are honored to walk with you. Contact Aurora Home Care and Hospice at 215-354-4444 and 215-396-8822.
Welcome back to Ask the Experts. I'm Lee Richards. Kim Zavolia is with us from Aurora Home Care, and we're right in the middle of a discussion about Medical Assistance Estate Recovery Program and what happens when that kicks in. I guess the whole thing is we're talking about financing, keeping your loved one at home instead of throwing them into a nursing home or a facility, how to do it, how to finance it when it becomes necessary. What did you call it? Aging in place?
Yes.
Aging in place. So after you go through all the paperwork, and thank you so much for helping people to fill out the paperwork, it's good to know there are folks who know the ropes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what if you get denied by the state? Can you apply again?
Absolutely. So you can, depending on the rejection, you can reapply. So, for example, if you're missing documentation, you have 30 days to resubmit the proper information. So they do give you guidelines of what you're allowed and what you're not allowed to resubmit, mm-hmm. but they do give you the time frame as well.
When they say looking back 5 years on the bank statements, mm-hmm. well, what if you didn't know 5 years in advance that, you know, who knows sometimes 5 years in advance that something's going to happen that is going to change the life, your life and lives of your family members forever?
There is no planning, honestly, for that piece. No. I mean, I have in-laws, my own parents. I know they haven't planned. And no one wants to admit that they're getting to that point where they even have to think about it. So really, you know, it's time now. If you're listening to this, you're listening for a reason. You know, start taking notice in your finances and see, you know, talk to somebody and see what you have to do to get things in place.
Yeah.
To get it
it's
going.
Like you're allowed to give gifts to your family up to a certain amount of years, so forth and so on. But looking back 5 years, that gift you gave to your granddaughter for her wedding could be held against you.
As long as you have receipts or proof of where it's going, it's never going to be held against you. It's just you have to be, you know, credible and put everything down in okay. paperwork. So that's really what it is.
What's Maximus PA Independent Broker?
So they are... the MCO, or not the MCO, the agency that helps you get your home care in place. So they're the ones that, one of the agencies that will qualify you.
Oh, okay. So what if you get denied by them?
So if you get denied by them, you can reapply in 6 months. However, the person reapplying would need to have a new form filled out by the doctor, which states that the patient's health has declined. Since the last application. So that would be critical in order to get that paperwork reprocessed.
Well, okay, so what's the criteria for being, how sick do you have to be?
You have to be homebound. You can't be going out and driving, doing, you know, 100 push-ups and then saying you need somebody to care for you.
I can't do that anyway.
Neither can I. We're good. So, yeah, I mean, the criteria is, you know, you need assistance in the home. You can't get things done like you used to. And,
yes.
you know, you need that help.
Now, I guess it, after all is said and done and all the paperwork is approved, then the decision has to be made what exactly a person needs. Do they need someone to clean? Is that included? Do they send people to bathe them, brush their teeth?
Absolutely.
Wash the dishes?
Exactly.
Walk the dog?
You named it. You don't need me for this. You're good. You're already an expert. Well,
no, that's life.
It is life, but this is what this system is for. You know, home care itself is helping you navigate your daily activities, whether it's, you know, light housekeeping, meal prep, medication reminders. They do it to make sure that you can age in place. So it's a, you know, you pick the right agency that will definitely right. care for you properly and you feel comfortable with. You got it made.
Are you allowed to keep your cats and dogs?
Absolutely.
So they will walk the
they
dog.
They will help you, yes.
Will they clean the kitty litter box, more important?
If you get a good one. It depends on the aid, if they're willing. But
all right, back to this intricate application process. And knowing that you guys will help with it, that's like so important. Do they come to the home and actually visit the house where the person lives?
Yes, they do. Maximus PCA, Area on Aging will all come out. And then at the last visit, the coordinating agency, sorry, I can't, that's too much for me. I talk too fast. They create a care plan. That care plan has the hours approved, as well as that's when you officially choose your home care. You're going to have to say Aurora, like, 10 times during this process, just to keep reiterating, because at this, there's different cracks that can, you know, they can fall through and go to a different agency. So you pick Aurora, it's stick with Aurora. You're gonna have to keep saying it and telling them.
Oh, because along the way they may want to push you off onto some agency.
Not even necessarily that, but because there's so many hands in the pot, it is, you know, Area on Aging, it is PCA, it is Maximus and the Department of Health and Welfare. You know, not everybody's familiar with the other person. So, sure. you know, they just want to hear the same name over and over and over. And then, you know, they'll
just remember that it's a beautiful name, Aurora. I know someone who named their daughter Aurora after a movie character.
Exactly.
And now she's all grown up. Anyway, so someone is approved. This is what we want. We want the approval. Is approved for long-term care services. What do they do next?
So once they're approved, the coordinating agency creates the care plan. They give you the hours that are determined. They choose an MCO, which is the insurance that they're going to go with. And then they choose the home care provider, which hopefully will be Aurora. And then the authorization is sent, and the chosen home care is coming out, and the care begins. So it sounds really easy, but, you know, there is a process. It's a grueling process that you have to stick with, and that's why we're here to hold hands and keep going with all the paper.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad you're here because I am learning so much. For instance, I don't know anything about insurance that is involved with this, and there are three insurances a client can choose from to handle their care. Tell me about this. And are they private insurances, or are they state related, or what?
They're state related. It's Keystone First, UPMC, and PA Health and Wellness.
Okay, but they're corporations, though.
Yeah, it's the three new MCOs that, you know, are now taking care of the entire process.
You say new?
Well,
is that something
it's
new?
As of January 1st, they kind of implemented this so that it is more of the Medicaid piece.
Oh, okay. That makes it a little easier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will a client be reevaluated for their long-term care services once they went through all this and have everything in place?
They will every 3 months to make sure that, you know, whether the care is, you know, not needed as much or needed more, they reevaluate every 3 months.
So if they need more care, they could actually give them more after 3 months.
Possibly, depending on,
more,
you know,
services.
Yep.
But if they need less, that means they're getting better. But
yes.
How many people actually get better?
I don't have an answer for that. It depends on, it's a case-by-case basis. So
I remember
really,
a long time ago, I heard, like, when somebody goes into a nursing home, you know, usually an older person, sometimes people who are ill or whatever, and most of them never make it through 5 years in the nursing home. Part of that could be because they should have been, if they were at home, maybe they would have lived longer. But the point is, when it reaches the critical stage where you need all this assistance and care, what is the average life expectancy at that point?
You know, you really can't generalize it to be that way because every single person's different. But, you know, and even in the care plan of being at home versus a nursing home, I mean, some people just need that 24-hour nursing care. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference between the two. I think I had a grandparent that was in a nursing home, an aunt and uncle now. So the difference in quality care, it's still the same. It's just the level of care needed. Right. You know, 24-hour care can still be provided with, like, a caregiver, a home health aide coming in and sitting with you and helping with daily activities. But 24-hour nursing care is completely different. So as far as the life expectancy, it just really depends on the nature of, right, you know, the condition of the patient.
So I guess when you say 24-hour nursing care, you're speaking RN-style nursing care?
Yeah, so that's, and that would
be end of life. You know, hospice
style.
That
would be different, yeah, exactly.
People who have to administer
medication,
syringes, IVs, feeding tubes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's the more detailed information and care that, you know, not only nursing facilities can offer. We can offer that at home as well, but that level of care for 24 hours, it gets to be, you know, too much on the family, on the patient.
Yeah. And Medicaid could, the people qualify, cover all or most of the costs?
Not of the skilled part, not of the,
oh, okay,
that goes through the insurance, but the home health piece with the caregiver being in the home, that would be through Medicaid.
And actually, in just a few minutes, we're going to put a little twist on that. Who's providing? Who is your helper in the house? And that's, I'm gonna leave you in the dark because I want to just keep talking about this specific thing, and then we'll sort of put this to rest for a little while. As we said in the beginning, all these questions are for people who don't have a ton of money. The income restrictions, the five-year look back on the bank statement, so forth and so on. Can a person self-pay? Yes. Everybody doesn't want to go the Medicaid route or cannot go the Medicaid route, because why give away everything you worked for if you have enough? Can you apply for Medicaid later after you use up your money?
You can. Are you asking me a question?
I'm asking you.
It was totally a statement right there. Yes, absolutely. You can.
The question mark.
Yeah. So absolutely. Once that money is spent down, you know, and you're using it for services, absolutely, you can apply for Medicaid. The other part of care is if they have too much in assets as far as the Medicaid piece goes, you can benefit from our Veterans Services. Excuse me.
Oh.
And that could be for the long-term care piece as well.
Oh, so under the Veterans Services, you can actually have home care?
Yes.
Oh, you don't have to like go to the VA hospital or whatever like that. That's really cool. I can't wait to continue the conversation. We're going to come back. We're speaking with Kim Zavalia from Aurora Home Care. The phone number is 215-354-4444. The website, auroraathome.com. It doesn't cost you anything to ask questions. Go look at the website. Give them a call. Anything you want to know, they'll tell you on the phone. I mean, we're just skimming the surface right now. So we're going to be right back on Ask the Experts in just a few minutes. I just want to say thank you so much for listening today. This is Lee Richards.
Thanks for listening to the Ask the Expert show today. Join us again next week for more specialists in their field of legal health, financial, and home improvement.